Please be seated. I told the Wednesday night crowd that I didn't have a clue what I'd be preaching about today. I actually didn't have a clue on Thursday or Friday for the most part. I just hadn't had time to prepare, do any preparation on any of the readings. So I let them vote on Wednesday night on which text I would use for a sermon. Now, I will admit that several people wanted the snake story from Numbers, but I don't think it was so much for any theological insight they might get as it was just to watch me squirm trying to make this ancient story relevant. I think it was Father Tom who voted on the Ephesians reading, which he described as good Lutheran theology. And while the Wednesday night crowd wasn't a lot of help in helping me decide, I think more folks actually voted for the gospel lesson, and who can blame them? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Pretty much for all of us, that was probably the first Bible verse we ever memorized, and probably, like me, from the King James Version. John 3:16. The gospel in a nutshell, as Luther referred to it. But I can't help but wonder if people really thought about this verse for longer, a little longer than it takes to read a bumper sticker, if it would still be everyone's favorite Bible verse, because there's a whole lot of judgment in this text. And judgment makes us feel uncomfortable. Unless, of course, we're the ones doing the judging. There's also an implied acceptance of vulnerability in this text. And we're taught from an early age to avoid being vulnerable. And this text makes a claim on us, whether we like it or not, and accentuates our utter dependence on God, and we human beings resist dependence on anything, don't we? But it was later on Wednesday night, during our TED Talk program, where something occurred to me from this text that I'd never considered before. Wednesday's TED Talk was entitled My Year of Living Biblically. The presentation was by author A.J. Jacobs, who spent a year trying to live his life while following all the rules of the Bible, all 613 of them. Jacobs said that he grew up with no religion, and he describes himself as Jewish in the same way that the Olive Garden is Italian. And in all of his projects, he would immerse himself in the topic. So for this project, he started by gathering a stack of Bibles, different translations, Jewish Bibles, Christian Bibles, and he read every single one of them while writing down every single law he could find. He said he became so knowledgeable about Scripture that he may be the first person to have ever out-Bibled a Jehovah Witness. But despite how much knowledge he had about things, it wasn't until he began to engage himself with the world around him that any of that knowledge began to have any meaning. And that's where I found myself in today's story about Jesus and Nicodemus and our favorite Bible verse. You see, this week's text is not the whole story of the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. It's more like the climax of what John has to say, and it assumes that we've been listening to the rest of the conversation. Nicodemus is presented as a leading member of the religious hierarchy in Jerusalem, and I envision his role to be something akin to a seminary professor. And he's come in the middle of the night to talk to Jesus. Why the middle of the night? I don't know. Maybe Nicodemus was afraid that his faculty cohorts would make fun of him by being intrigued by this guy. But regardless, Nicodemus appears to be troubled by what Jesus has been saying and doing, and he wants to question him. Maybe. Or maybe he just wants to debate him. Nicodemus wants to understand, so he wants some intellectual confirmation, some sign that Jesus really is from God and that the things he's saying and doing are true. Or so he says. If you were a child of the Spirit, you would know who I am, Jesus says. But all Nicodemus could do was start asking Jesus more intellectual questions, which Jesus responds to with his own questions to the point of losing patience. It's like Jesus realizes he's dealing with someone who doesn't want to understand, but just wants to argue their point. And it's here that we come to this week's text. And I think, as much as anything, Jesus is trying to get across to Nicodemus that faith is more than the intellectual exercise he wants to make it. It's more than about knowing the law and then futilely trying to follow it. Nicodemus comes to Jesus in darkness, and Jesus invites him into a new light, a different light, where knowing all the rules and having all the answers and having a well-supported and long-standing theology isn't the only thing. Instead, it's when we take that knowledge and engage a broken world by walking in the light that has come into the world, and decide if we'd prefer that light to darkness. That's not as easy as it sounds, because some prefer the darkness of certitude instead of a light that might actually enlighten us. In A.J. Jacobs' Year of Living Biblically, he discovered that as much as we like to think our behavior is a function of what we believe, he found it to be the exact opposite. He discovered that behavior actually changed his thoughts. He pretended to be a better person, and he became a better person. He visited people in the hospital, and he became a more compassionate person. Jacob said by following all those rules, he learned that about the importance of gratitude and sacredness and not disregarding the irrational. He discovered that living biblically was not so much a consent to belief as it was an exercise in choosing the right parts. Parts like compassion and tolerance and loving your neighbor, whether it's to the letter of the law or not. And that is the light that I believe to where each of us are called. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I've always wished that John would have added, like it or not, period. Whether you understand it or not, let's move on to the next topic. But before that everlasting life kicks in, choose light. The kind of light that shoves us from our comfort zones, where we live in ways that might be against our very nature, but in ways that reflect a God who so loved the world and who so wants you and me to engage in that world. I really think that's what Jesus wanted Nicodemus to understand that night. And I don't know if it ever fully got through to him or not, because we don't know that much about Nicodemus. But I've got to believe that something got through to him. Something. Because when we hear later about him, he's helping a man named Joseph of Arimathea prepare a body for burial. God love you. Amen.